الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أنا سيد ولد آدم يوم القيامة ولا فخر، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected علماء، honorable elders, my young friends and sisters listening at home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is a great pleasure for all of us to be present here today in this Siratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam conference organized by the Al Falah Academy for discussing the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is a source of guidance. It is a source of enlightenment. It is a source of acquiring the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a means of acquiring His shafa'at and His intercession on the day of Qiyamah. And it is a means of nur, light, barakat, blessings, rahmat, mercy descending upon those present in the gathering from the court of the Almighty. Naam unka jahan bhi liya jayega, zikr unka jahan bhi kiya jayega. Naam unka jahan bhi liya jayega, zikr unka jahan bhi kiya jayega. Noor hi noor seenon mein bhar jayega, sari mehfil mein jalwe tapak jayenge. Wherever he is mentioned, wherever his life is discussed, wherever his seerah is discussed, wherever his sunnah is discussed, wherever his exalted and lofty characters are discussed, wherever his ta'aleem, his instruction is discussed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlightens the hearts of the whole audience with the noor of hidayah. Before his advent, the whole world was plunged into darkness. There was nothing but darkness all around, nothing but ignorance all around. There was no civilization, no culture, no character, no moral, no decency. The whole world was engulfed in darkness. Har taraf tirgi thi na thi roshni. Har taraf tirgi thi, tirgi darkness. There was darkness all over. Har taraf tirgi thi na thi roshni. There was darkness all over. There was no light. Har taraf tirgi thi na thi roshni. Aap aaye to sabko mili roshni. There was darkness all over, but when the son of Amina, the orphan of Makkah Mukarrama, the leader of all the Anbiya, the seal of the prophets sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the final messenger, the whole world was illuminated. The whole world was illuminated. And people of all ages in the past 1400 years have been reaching the peak of success by following this light, the light of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be they Muslims or non-Muslims. The teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a source of light for all Muslims, non-Muslims. In this world, it is a source of light at the time of death, it is a source of light in the qabr. It will be a source of light on the day of Qiyamah. It will be a source of light on the Pul Sirat. Because in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one more exalted than this orphan of Makkah Mukarramah, the son of Amina, the son of Abdullah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba-e-Kiram Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in, whenever they describe a particular quality of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, he was mercy, or he was muttaqi, or his heart was full of khashiyat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, or he was knowledgeable, or he was generous, or he was handsome. Whenever the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majma'in mention any characteristic of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, any akhlaq, any quality, any feature, they would not say he was handsome, they would say he was the most handsome. He would not say he was generous, he was the most generous. They would not say he was knowledgeable. He was the most knowledgeable. They would not say he was merciful. He was the most merciful. أعلمهم بالله وأخشاهم أعلمهم بالله وأتقاهم كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس. He was the most generous. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أشجع الناس. He was the most brave. Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is one of the most brave from amongst the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. And when somebody who is brave bears testimony for another person to be the most bravest, that testimony is not taken lightly. Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that there were times in certain battles, expeditions, when for wisdoms known best to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muslims had to retreat. There were certain battles where during the battle, the Muslims did not know what was happening. And each person was worried about himself only. And each person was concerned about saving his life. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that when the most courageous people were retreating, my gaze fell upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marching forward towards the kuffar and the non-Muslims. Abu Sufyan ibn al-Haris radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and Hadrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the battle of Hunain, were holding by the reins of the mount of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Muslims had retreated. There was no other choice. And they were trying to pull the mount behind because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just marching forward. And he was saying, "Ana an-nabiyyu la kadhib, ana ibnu Abdul Muttalib. Why should I retreat? Why should I retreat? Ana an-nabiyyu la kadhib. I am the true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should I retreat? I am the true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I will march forward because the help of Allah is with me. I am the true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I have tawakkul, I have reliance in my creator. And I come from a very noble family, ana ibn Abdul Muttalib. I am the grandson of Abdul Muttalib. Our family, the Quraysh, the Banu Hashim, are known for their noble characters, and bravery is a very great noble character. How can I retreat? Ana an-nabiyyu la kadhib, ana ibn Abdul Muttalib. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحسن الناس وجها. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was not only handsome, he was the most handsome. Most handsome. A sahabi رضي الله تعالى عنه is questioned by a tabi'i رحمه الله تعالى that can you describe for me the features of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, how did he look? Because the Tabi'in, rahimahumullah ta'ala, had lot of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because they were deprived of seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever they would meet the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, they would ask the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in to explain in detail how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked. And my friends, it is the love that the ummah has for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and this is also the great miracle of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nobody's life is recorded Nobody's life is recorded with such in-depth records as the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A mu'min does not know regarding his father what he knows about his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you ask a mu'min, where was your father born? Where was his childhood? How was his childhood? He will not be able to answer. But if a mu'min is questioned, where was your Nabi born? What was his childhood like? How did he grow up? What were the conditions of the whole world when your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born? Each and every item has been recorded, my friends, to the extent the Sahaba-i Kiram Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in did not only record the formal and serious discussions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they made sure that they recorded even the jokes and the humorous statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jokes and humorous statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this personality was so great that even when he joked and even when he made a humorous statement, there was so much knowledge hidden in that small statement that the ulama, the inheritors of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, the God-fearing ulama, the ulama with taqwa, when they researched on that particular humorous statement, they deduced dozens of masail from that humorous statement. There is a sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu who was very young, and in his young age he was very fond of a bird. He had a pet bird and he was very fond of it, and it so happened that this bird passed away, it died. This sahabi radiyallahu anhu at a very young age was so much attached to this bird that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came to know of this incident, and when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met this young sahabi radiyallahu anhu, he saw the grief on his face. And because he was rahmatul lil alameen, he had concern for everyone, he was caring for everyone, and he had time for everyone. Nowadays we have time for particular people only. He was rahmatul lil alameen. He was mercy for all the world. He was mercy for the Arabs, for the non-Arabs. He was mercy for the humans, for the jinns. He was mercy for the Muslims, for the non-Muslims. He was mercy for the men, for the women. He was mercy for the old, for the young. He was mercy for all. Even for animals, he was mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you but as a mercy for every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was sent as a mercy for all. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنِّي لَمْ أُبْعَثْ لَعَانًا إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ رَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send me as the one who curses people. Allah has sent me as a mercy for people. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ رَحْمَةً. Within a span of 23 years, his teachings are so comprehensive. He taught so many things within a span of 23 years that the ummah will never come across a situation until the day of Qiyamah where the ulama, the muftis will sit together, have conferences over conferences, and after 1 week or after 1 month or after 1 year conclude that we will not be able to give a verdict on this issue because we cannot find anything in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not a single issue. Within a span of 23 years, this was his miracle, great mu'jiza. With so many expeditions, Badr, Uhud, Khandaq,
so many other expeditions, with so many delegations coming to meet him, with his family commitments, because Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that he did not neglect us. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that he was particular. He was particular and very, very particular when it came to fulfilling the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as fulfilling the rights of the Creator. This is deen. This is deen, that you fulfill the rights of the Creator and you fulfill the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is Allah who has commanded us to fulfill the rights of the creation. He did not go into retreat, into Masjid-e-Nabawi and say, I have only 5 years left now and I've got a lot of work to do. He did not say to his wives, I have no time for you. He did not say to his daughters, I have no time for you. No. He had time for his daughters. He had time for his wives. He had time for his relatives. He had time for those people who were associated to his beloved deceased wife Khadija radiallahu anha. He was considerate. He was caring. He would never forget them. He would get involved in family matters of his household. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came to visit us. This is also deen, my friends. Visiting your daughters, visiting your sons. Sila rahmi, being kind to your relatives, this is also deen. Nowadays, we have a definition of deen, our own definition. Performing salat is deen. Reciting the Quran is deen. Tasbih zikr is deen. Visiting relatives to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is waste of time. Waste of time, this is dunya. Going to see uncle, going to see aunt, going to see granddad, grandma, this is waste of time, this is dunya. I have no time for dunya. There are more important tasks to perform. Who could have been more concerned about deen and the hereafter than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who could have been more busy than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He used to regularly go and pay visit to the homes of his daughters. He would speak to the daughters. He would try to find out how they were, what were the circumstances of the home. He would play and cuddle his grandchildren. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once I left with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and we reached the front part of the house of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started saying, Aina luka'u, Aina luka'u. Where is my beautiful child? Where is my beautiful child? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that he was waiting for Hadrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Where is my beautiful child? Where is my beautiful child? He did not go into the home. He wanted to play with the child. He wanted to give that special surprise to the child. He wanted the child come running to him and hug him. Because this is part and parcel of a human's life, and he had come as an example for every situation of human life. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. He is not an example only for the Imam of the Masjid. He is not an example for the Mufti only. He is not an example for the teacher only. He is not an example only for the Sheikh. He is not an example only for the Da'i and the Muballi. He is an example for each and every human. He is an example for the father. If you are a father, then learn from the Messenger of Allah how you should be treating your children. If you are a husband, then learn from the husband of Khadija, husband of Aisha, how you need to behave with your wives. yuqa'u, ayna luqa'u, where is my beautiful child, where is my beautiful child. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha did not let him come out. Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu anhu, he says that I assumed that she was either bathing him or preparing him for him to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After a while he came rushing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hugged him. Hazrat Hassan hugged the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Allah, oh Allah, love him and love that person who loves him. Oh Allah, love him and love that person who loves him. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting on the minbar, or rather giving the sermon from the minbar, khutbah. And the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'een are sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and listening to the khutbah. How attentive they must have been. Allahu Akbar. How attentive they must have been. And entered Hassan and Hussein. And because of the crowd, they were trying to get to their grandfather, but because of the crowd, they were finding it difficult. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the difficulty of his grandchildren in reaching him, he abandoned the khutbah. He descended from the minbar. He walked up to his two grandchildren. He picked them up. He brought them to the minbar. He sat one on his right and he sat the other on the left. And then he continued with his khutbah. This is also deen. Looking after your children, nurturing your children, giving love to your children. For the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with this view, that it is the command of Allah that I look after my children, I nurture them. And with this view, that if I am kind to my children, if I am a caring father to my children, then my children will have love for me, and it will be easy for me to drive them on the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Then this will also become deen. But nowadays, my friends, we have no time for our children. We have ample time for friends. We have ample time for brides every Friday. Every Friday. It is more fard than the fard salah. Come what may, but we cannot miss bride. And when you talk about children, then are you looking after your children? Are you nurturing your children? Are you giving time to your children? Maulana, no time. No time. When you talk about deen, perform salat, no time. Tilawat, no time. Go in the path of Allah, no time. Learn ilm, no time. And when you say to people, don't watch film on television, it is haram. Allah dislikes it. Maulana, how can we pass our time? Allahu Akbar. We have become the victims of shaitan, my friends. We will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer for all these tricks that we are playing in regard to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please, my friends, please. The objective, the maqsad of this gathering is not to listen about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and just feel happy and go home and go to sleep. No. What we are trying to do is to discuss this great life, instill in our hearts the love for this great Nabi, and go with this view, with this resolution, that we will emulate, we will imitate this great life, so that we can also become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit Fatima radiyallahu anha. Assalamu alaykum wa alaykum assalam. He did not see the son-in-law. Nowadays when we go to visit our daughter and we do not see the son-in-law, how much concerned are we? How much concerned are we? Here we have the leader of the ladies of Jannah, Fatima to Zahra. And on the other side, we have Ali radiallahu anhu, regarding whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَعَثْتَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَى. Your status in comparison to me is just like the status of Harun in comparison to Musa. Ali radiallahu anhu, on one side, he was like a son. He was his cousin, but like a son. It was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who nurtured him. He was to be the fourth caliph. He was Babul Ilm. And on the other side, Fatimatul Zahra, there was no possibility of any serious dispute. But the father should be caring. He should always look to the welfare of his children. So when he saw the son-in-law missing from the home, the first question he asked was, Ya Fatima, Aina Ali? Where is Ali, O Fatima? And what is our behavior? Even if we feel that there is something wrong, we don't want to get involved. We don't want to get involved. If we ask, then we'll know that there is a problem. And if we know that there is a problem, it will become a headache for us. So let the daughter suffer for as long as she can. The seerah is not to read and enjoy only. The seerah is to derive lessons from it. From the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has dozens of lessons which we can apply to everyday life. And it is with this intention the ulama and the students studying in the madari should also study the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, there are special masail associated to the ahadith which are discussed academically, but when studying the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one objective of the student of the hadith should be that in this day and age, how can I apply this hadith, and in which part of my life is this hadith guiding me? Where is Ali? So Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha said, there was a small dispute between me and Ali. And as a result of this dispute, Ali radiallahu anhu became unhappy. And as the husband does, he left the home in an angry mood. Fine, it's Ali. He's left in an angry mood. I know Ali. I can trust him. There won't be any problem. He'll come back after 2 hours. It's okay. Not a big deal. No. Such a busy person, he immediately left the home of Fatima. And he started searching for Ali. He sent somebody to look for Ali because he was concerned about his daughter. He was concerned about his daughter. And another lesson to learn from this is that he did not go into the depth of the issue. Is Ali oppressing you? Does he bother you? What happened? Is this a one-off incident? My daughter, the doors are open for you whenever you wish to come. It is we who are responsible for the divorces of our daughters. It is we who encourage our daughters to rebel against the husband. He did not ask, what is the problem? What happened? Is this the first incident? No. He knew that marriage was very, very important to save the marriage of the daughter. He said, look for Ali. The Sahabi came and he said, he is resting in Masjid Nabawi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into the Masjid Nabawi. And he found Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu lying on the floor. Because he was hurt, he was in grief, maybe angry. So he was lying on the floor and the top garment had fallen off and the dust had settled on his body. The father-in-law, who is the Sayyidul Mursaleen, imagine a sheikh being a father-in-law of his murid in this day and age. There is no comparison, my friends. Between a sheikh and his murid, there is some comparison. But between the Nabi and an ummati, there is no comparison. Ali was an ummati. He may have been a son-in-law, but ummati. And Ali also knew to hurt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the slightest was kufr. So So there was no possibility of Ali radiallahu anhu behaving in an angry tone with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that your daughter is doing this and this, your daughter is doing this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching the ummah how to deal with these situations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down. Ali is sleeping. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began wiping the dust of his body. Allahu Akbar. He began to wipe the dust from the body of Ali, teaching the ummah that if there is a dispute between your daughter and your son-in-law, this is how you treat the son-in-law. Unless in extreme circumstances, yes, there is teachings for that as well. When Ali radiallahu anhu opened his eyes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam joked with him and he said, Qum ya Aba Turab, Qum ya Aba Turab, O the father of dust, get up, O the father of dust, get up. Because he was covered in dust, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joked with him, Abu Turab. A humorous statement to make him forget that grief. Qum ya Aba Turab, Qum ya Aba Turab. Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, out of all the names that I have, this is the most beloved name to me. Because it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who gave me this name. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was caring. And not only towards his family, towards everybody. So this young child, who had a pet bird, this pet bird died. He was in grief. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had heard of this news. So when he saw him and he saw the grief on his face, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a humorous statement. He made a statement, a rhyming statement to make that young child happy. He said, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan nughair, just to make the child happy. He started to tease him, Ya Aba Umair, O the father of Umair. Now he wasn't even married yet, he had not even reached the marriageable age. But to make him happy, he said, Ya Aba Umair, O the father of Umair. Ma fa'alan nughair, what happened to that bird of yours? Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan nughair. The Sahaba-i-Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi majma'in recorded this statement. It doesn't mean anything to us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is joking. He is making a humorous statement. He is trying to make that child happy. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan nughair. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan nughair. Oh Abu Umair, oh the father of Umair, what has happened to your bird, nughair? Where is your bird, nughair? The Sahaba recorded this statement, this humorous statement, and passed it on to the Tabi'in. The Tabi'in to the Taba Tabi'in, and it continues till today. This is the hadith of Bukhari Sharif. The Sahaba passed on this humorous statement because they were made to do this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knew that this humorous statement contains an ocean of knowledge. So the ulama who came afterwards, they pondered over this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they did use dozens of masail from this. If his humorous statement, if his humorous statements contains so much knowledge, then what about those statements which he made formally and in a serious mood? So I was saying that the ummah has been very, very particular, very meticulously has recorded each and every word and each and every action of their beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was because they had so much left for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is for this reason, no other religion can compete with the followers of Islam. Because the guidance that the Muslims can find in their religion, other followers of other religions cannot find the same guidance. Because they have not recorded the lives of their prophets with such care. So I was saying that the Sahaba-i-Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in were questioned over and over again by the Tabi'in, can you please let us know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked like? Every
everything is recorded. His eyes were like this, his ears, his hair, his beard, his walking, his sitting style, his comb, his plate, his jug, his bowl, his spoon, everything recorded. Study the book Shama'il al-Tirmidhi by Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Everything is recorded. So a Tabi'i asked the Sahabi radiallahu anhu regarding the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding his features, that can you please explain to me, mention to me the feature of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son, how can I explain to you the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son, لَوْ رَأَيْتَهُ رَأَيْتَ الشَّمْسَ طَالِعَةً. Allahu Akbar. If only you could understand Arabic. لَوْ رَأَيْتَهُ رَأَيْتَ الشَّمْسَ طَالِعَةً. O my son, how can I explain to you the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If you had seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming towards you from a distance, you would have felt as if the sun is rising in the morning. لَوْ رَأَيْتَهُ رَأَيْتَ الشَّمْسَ طَالِعَةً. أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ وَجْهًا. He was the most handsome. Ya Sahib al-Jamal, wa ya Sayyid al-Bashar. Shaykh Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala says, Ya Sahib al-Jamal, O the one full of beauty. Wa ahsanu minka lam tara qattu ayni, wa ajmalu minka lam talid an-nisa'u. خلقت مبرئا من كل عيب كأنك قد خلقت كما تشاء. حضرت حسان بن ثابت رضي الله تعالى عنه says, وأحسن منك لم تر قط عيني. My eye has not seen anyone more handsome than you, O Messenger of Allah. وأجمل منك لم تلد النساء. And what is my eye? My eyes are 50 years old, 60 years old. My conclusion is that right from the time of Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam until today, no mother has given birth to a child which is more handsome than you. وأجمل منك لم تلد النساء. خلقت مبرئا من كل عيب. Each and every part of your body is pure from any fault. You have been created pure from any fault. When we look at somebody's face, the nose is perfect, the eyes are perfect, but the ears are perfect, nose is perfect, eyes are perfect, but the lips. As far as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned, each and every part of his body was 100% perfect. More than 100% perfect. Hassan ibn Thabit says, خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. When I study your body, the structure of your body, when I study your limbs, each and every part of the body is so perfect that I come to this conclusion, I reach this conclusion, كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every limb according to your desire. Allah was asking you, O Muhammad, now I am making your nose, how do you want your nose to look like? Muhammad, I'm making your ears now, how do you want your ears to look like? I'm making your lips now, how do you want your lips to look like? You were created the way you wanted to be created. Ya Sahib al-Jamal, full of beauty, embodiment of beauty. لَنَا شَمْسٌ وَلِلْآفَاقِ شَمْسٌ. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, لَنَا شَمْسٌ وَلِلْآفَاقِ شَمْسٌ فَشَمْسِ خَيْرٌ مِّن شَمْسِ السَّمَاءِ وَشَمْسُ السَّمَاءِ تَطْلُعُ بَعْدَ فَجْرٍ وَشَمْسِ تَطْلُعُ بَعْدَ الْعِشَاءِ. لَنَا شَمْسٌ وَلِلْآفَاقِ شَمْسٌ. There are two suns, one shining bright in the heavens and the other walking in the streets of Madina Munawwara. There are two suns. لَنَا شَمْسٌ وَلِلْآفَاقِ شَمْسٌ. There are two suns, one shining bright in the heavens, one in Madina Munawwara. My beloved husband, my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And out of the two, فَشَمْسِ خَيْرٌ مِّن شَمْسِ السَّمَاءِ. My sun is far more beautiful than the sun shining bright in the heavens. Oh Aisha, how have you come to this conclusion? She says, فَشَمْسُ السَّمَاءِ تَتْلُعُ بَعْدَ فَجْرٍ. Fashamsu samai, the sun of the heavens, rises after fajr. Tatlu'u ba'da fajri. When we leave the masjid, immediately after fajr salat or 15-20 minutes after fajr salat, before the rising of the sun, the darkness has already gone. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, very beautifully, she was a very, very intelligent woman. She says that the sun rises after the light has already spread throughout the world. فَشَمْسُ السَّمَاءِ تَتْلُو بَعْدَ فَجْرٍ. The sun of the heaven rises and gives light after fajr, after the light has already spread throughout the world. وَشَمْسِ تَتْلُو بَعْدَ الْإِشَاءِ. But my sun rises after Isha Salat, when everything becomes dark, when he enters my room, and when he smiles and he says, Ya Aisha, Assalamu alayki wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. When he smiles, then through the brightness of his teeth, I am able to find the needle that has fallen in the darkness of the night. أحسن الناس وجها. مولانا قاسم نانوتوی رحمت اللہ علیہ used to say in a couplet, he says, جہاں کے سارے کمالات ایک تجھ میں ہے, جہاں کے سارے کمالات ایک تجھ میں ہے. The excellencies of the whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in you. The excellencies that Allah had granted Adam, the excellencies that Allah had granted Musa, the excellencies that Allah had granted Isa, the excellencies that Allah had granted Harun, the excellencies that Allah had granted all the approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, and all the other excellencies that are found in various creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jahan ke sare kamalat ek tujh mein hai, you possess all those good qualities. تیرے کمالات کسی میں نہیں مگر دو چار. جہاں کے سارے کمالات تجھ میں ہیں, جہاں کے سارے کمالات ایک تجھ میں ہیں, تیرے کمالات کسی میں نہیں مگر دو چار. When we look at the life of Adam and compare the life of Adam with yours, we will find a few qualities from your life in Adam. But when we look at the life of Adam and compare Adam with your life, we will find all the qualities of Adam in you. We will find all the qualities of Harun in you. جہاں کے سارے کمالات ایک تجھ میں ہیں, تیرے کمالات کسی میں نہیں مگر دو چار. A great prophet, my friends. A great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And such greatness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him certain things which he has not granted to anyone before him nor after him. One of them is Mi'raj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is sent? Jibreel, Mikail, the two most superior angels are sent for his service. They came as khuddam, they came as khadims to accompany him during this great trip. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, I was resting in the house of my cousin sister Umme Hani radiyallahu anha, and Jibreel and Mikail woke me up and they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to meet you. Come, we have come to take you to the heavens. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is brought out of his home, of his cousin's home, by Jibreel, Mikail, and he was brought in the Hatim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I dozed off into Hatim again because I was sleepy. Jibreel woke me up again and he opened my chest and he took out my heart. And after taking out my heart, he washed it with Zamzam. And after washing it with Zamzam, he opened my heart and he had brought Iman and Noor and so many spiritual favors and blessings from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He entered all these blessings in my heart and he closed my heart. And thereafter he closed my chest. He said, when I looked at my chest, I could not see the scar. The ulama have deduced from this that there is no better water than the water of Zamzam.
The water of Zamzam is better than the water of Hawz-e Kawthar. And there will be many streams and many rivers in Jannah. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّذِي وَعِيدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ فِيهَا نَهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن خَمْرٍ لَّذَّةٍ لِّلشَّارِبِينَ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن عَسَلٍ مُّصَفًّى. The ulama have deduced that the heart that was being washed by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was the best of the hearts. There is no heart better than the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had dispatched Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the best of the angels, to carry out this task. So the hands of the best of the angels, heart of the best of the creation, if there was any water better than Zamzam in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have sent Jibreel with that water. But now Zamzam is the best. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Jibreel to wash the heart. Let's go, let's move. Moving, he comes to Baytul Maqdis. After Baytul Maqdis, he goes to the first heavens, he meets Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Second heaven, he meets Isa alayhi salam. Third heaven, he meets Yusuf alayhi salam. Fourth heaven, he meets Ibrahim alayhi salam. Fifth heaven, he meets Harun alayhi salam. Sixth heaven, he meets Musa alayhi salam. Fourth heaven, Idris alayhi salam. Fifth, he meets Harun alayhi salam. Sixth, Musa alayhi salam. And seventh, Ibrahim alayhi salam. He observes Baytul Ma'mur, and then he comes to Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha, final destination. No one can cross this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is accompanied by Jibreel alaihi salatu wasalam. So Jibreel was expected to move forward with him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked by Hazrat Jibreel alaihi salatu wasalam to move forward. So the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is looking at Jibreel alaihi salatu wasalam with a question on his face, that why are you not moving with me? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, Sidratul Muntaha par jo pahunche nabi, sar jhuka karke Jibreel kehne lage, e habibe khuda ab siwa aapke, aage jayega jo bhi wo jal jayega. Oh messenger of Allah, I do not have the power to go forward. Only one person can go beyond this, and that is you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moves forward. He observes Lawh-e Mahfooz, he observes Qalam, the pen that writes all the taqdeer. He observes Jannah, he observes Jahannam. He meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh my messenger, oh my beloved, ana wa anta. Today it is only you and I. There is nobody here. No Jibreel, no Mikael, nobody. Ana wa anta, only you and I. Wa ma siwa dhalika khalaqtuhu li ajlika. Oh my messenger, whatever I have created besides you and I have created only for the sake of you. If I did not have the intention of creating you, I would not have created anything. No Adam, no Musa, no Isa, no Harun, nobody. Anavanta, today it is only you and I. We are meeting here, secretly, private meeting. Vama siva dhalika, and anything that I have created, other than you and I have created only for the sake of you. This was the love from Rasulullah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his beloved Nabi. Now look at the love of the beloved Nabi for his creator. He immediately replied, he said, Ana wa anta. Oh Allah, yes, it is true, it is only I and you here today. Wama siwa dhalika taraktuhu li ajlika. And anything besides you and I that you have created for my sake only, I have forsaken everything for the sake of you. I am not interested in anything else. You have created everything for me, good. I'm not interested. I am interested in you. I am interested in you because you have created me for you. Ye khetiyan sarsabz hain teri ghiza ke waaste. Everything Allah has created for our service, and Allah has created us for His service. But the unfortunate scenario is that Allah has created everything for our service, and we are in the service of all these items. This is what we need to come out of. The car was for our service. The house was for our service. The shop was for our service. The camel, the horse was for our service. Everything was for ours and we have become their servants. یہ کھیتیاں سرسبز ہیں تیری غذا کے واسطے چاند سورج اور ستارے ہیں ضیاء کے واسطے یہ سارا جہاں تیرے لیے اور تو ہے خدا کے واسطے Everything is for you but you are for Allah سبحانہ وتعالی Thereafter Allah سبحانہ وتعالی questioned asked oh my messenger you have come to visit me what have you brought for me when a visitor goes to visit somebody he takes a gift what have you brought for me So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. The indication was that item is very, very precious to a person which he does not possess. You possess everything, but you do not possess ibadah because you cannot worship anybody. Ibadah, humbleness, humility. Allah is great, He cannot become humble. He cannot be humble. Humility is nowhere to be seen. He is great. I have brought something for you which you do not possess. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. Every type of ibadah, every type of devotion, every type of humility, every type of humbleness is for you only, O my Creator. At-tahiyyatu lillah. All verbal devotions, wassalawatu, all physical devotions, wattayyibatu, all monetary devotions, for you only. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wassalawatu wattayyibat. Three things for you. Verbal devotions for you, physical devotions for you, and monetary devotions for you. Whenever I will devote anything from these three categories, I will do it only for your pleasure and for nobody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted His messenger three things, three blessings in return for three. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Listen very attentively my friends. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu. Oh my messenger, may my peace be upon you. Salam from me, salam from Allah. Wa rahmatullahi and the rahmat of Allah be upon you. Mercy of Allah. Wa barakatuhu, the barakat and the blessings of Allah be upon you. Three in return of three. Now, go into the world of imagination for a while. You are standing in front of a king of queen, in front of Queen Elizabeth of UK. In front of your president. And the president gives you a gift. You will be so overwhelmed that you will not be even able to utter a word. And at that moment, you are standing in front of somebody you love very dearly, you revere very much. At that time, you will not even think about your wife. You will not be able to think about it. You will be overcome with emotions. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is great, 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 great. But after all, he is a creation. And he is standing in the court of the Creator. He is standing in the court of the Creator. And the Creator is saying, Oh my messenger, I am so happy with you. That As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. At that moment, would anybody remember anybody? My friends, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had so much love for his ummah, for you and for me, that even at that moment he remembered us. At that moment he remembered us. He did not say that As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Great, I'm delighted. Allah's salam, Allah's rahmah, Allah's barakah for me. I'm very happy, I'm going. No, he said As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salim. Salam upon us. Salam upon us and salam upon Allah's pious servants. Not only upon me. Salam upon Allah's pious servants. The ulama have posed a question here. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is very, very kind, very merciful. And he is remembering the pious servants of his ummah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this meeting.
on the night of Mi'raj, yes, great. But who is more in need of his intercession? The pious servants of his ummah or the sinful servants of his ummah? So the ulama have said that we cannot understand why he said assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, why he remembered the pious servants and he forgot the sinful servants of his ummah who were more deserving of his attention. Allahu Akbar. After posing this question, the ulama have replied and they have answered that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that the sinful individuals of my ummah were more in need of my attention. Therefore he did not say that, oh Allah, salam upon me, salam upon the sinful servants of my ummah, and salam upon the pious servants of my ummah. He said, salam upon the pious servants of my ummah, and salam upon us. He used the plural. Assalamu alayna. Salam upon us. He included the sinful servants of his ummah with himself because he knew that he was so beloved that Allah will not reject him. Assalamu alayna. May the peace of Allah be upon us. That means me and the group of the sinful individuals of my ummah. Wa ala ibadillahi sareen. And may the peace of Allah be upon the pious servants of the ummah. Look at this rahmah, look at this love that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has for us, my friend. This conversation was taking place between Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ponder for a moment, my friends. This is the behavior of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regard to our matters. And what is our behavior in regard to the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in regard to the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in regard to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in regard to the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Let us make a firm resolution today. Let us make a firm resolution. We cannot fulfill the right of discussing the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one can. No one can. Lafz bebas zuban hai mazoor. Lafz bebas zuban hai mazoor. Mujhse zikr huzoor kya hoga? A poet says, lafz bebas. I just can't find the right words to express myself and explain the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Lafz bebas. I cannot find the words. Words cannot do justice to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zuban hai mazoor and my tongue is disabled. Mujhse zikr huzoor kya hoga? A humble person like me, how will he be able to discuss the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an ocean which has no shore. How can you cross an ocean which has no shore? So the poet says, lafz bebas zuban hai mazoor, mujhse zikr huzoor kya hoga, na kinara ho jis samandar ka, wo samandar ubur kya hoga. How can I cross that ocean which has no shore? So many incidents come to mind when we discuss the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And people have continued to discuss the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dr. Margolis, a professor of Oxford University in the early 20th century, he wrote the biography of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and in the preface he writes that the chain of the biographers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam form a long chain, from a long list. The biographers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam form a long chain which is impossible to end. At the beginning of the 20th century he says this, a non-Muslim, a critic of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The biographers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam form a long list which is impossible to end, but in which it is an honor to find place. It is an honor to find place in
amongst those people who have written about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst those people who speak about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Hassan ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu, whose couplets were mentioned just now, he said in one couplet, "Ma in madahtu Muhammadan bi maqalati, walakin madahtu maqalati bi Muhammadi." I have not praised my beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam through my couplets. I have not praised him through my couplets. I have praised my couplets by mentioning his name in my couplets. We are not praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by discussing his life. We are making our speech, our talk, our gathering praiseworthy in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by discussing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So friends, let us go from here with this firm resolution that we will study this great life. We will study this great life. We will learn this great life. We will read this great life. Gandhi, somebody gave him the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in two volumes. He completed the first volume. He completed the second volume. And he writes somewhere, he says that when I completed the second volume of the life of Prophet Muhammad, I was sorry that there was no more to read of this great life. So people like Gandhi, non-Muslims, they find so much interest in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he completes two volumes, and thereafter he says that I felt sorry that I did not have more to read of that great life. And all we are doing is buying books and stacking them on the shelves. Buying religious books these days has become a fashion. It is another ornament in our homes. But when people come, they feel very happy that this is a very religious oriented family. And alhamdulillah, very academic family. Books over books. And if you pick the book, dust. Buy books, read books, study books, especially the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and read with the intention of following this great seerah. So what we need to do is, we want to practically attach ourselves with the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only, don't misunderstand me, speaking of about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listening about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reading about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also a very virtuous act. It will bring reward in the hereafter. It will bring the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But my friends, if we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we hear about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we read about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we consume alcohol. Adultery, fornication is there. Films, other filthy habits are still there. No salat, no zakat, no hajj, no sawm. Then my friends, I am sorry to say that only talking about and listening about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not help in the hereafter. The objective of this gathering is to come on the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that mission is to study his seerah, understand his seerah, study his ta'aleem, study his teachings. And while studying his teachings, practically implement it in our lives. Make our individual life like his individual life. Make our collective life like his collective life. Make our family life like his family life. Make our ibadat like his ibadat. Make our muasharat like his muasharat. Make our muamalat like his muamalat. And make our mission his mission and his mission our mission. We learn, we practice and we propagate. We learn, we practice and we propagate. We learn, we practice and we propagate. This was the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us go with this firm resolution, inshallah. If we are able to do this, then inshallah we will be able to solve all the problems that the ummah is facing today. I will end with a few couplets in Urdu. We have heard this couplet over and over again. Dr. Iqbal's couplet. Ki Muhammad se wafa tune to hum tere hain.
کہ محمد سے وفا تو نے تو ہم تیرے ہیں. If you are loyal to Muhammad then Allah says I am yours. کہ محمد سے وفا تو نے تو ہم تیرے ہیں. If you are loyal to Muhammad then I am yours. And if Allah is ours then everything is ours. If Allah becomes ours then all our problems will be solved. All problems will be solved. اگر ایک تو نہیں میرا تو کوئی شے نہیں میری. If you are not mine, then despite having everything, nothing is mine. اگر ایک تو نہیں میرا تو کوئی شے نہیں میری. تو ایک میرا تو سب میرا, فلک میرا, زمین میری. If you are mine, then everything is mine. The heavens are mine and the earth is mine. If you are not mine, then despite having everything, nothing is mine. And if you are mine, then despite having nothing, everything is mine because you control everything. And how can Allah become ours? By us becoming loyal to the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ki Muhammad se wafa tu ne to hum tere hain. Ye jahan cheez hai ki loho kalam tere hain. You are concerned about this country and that country, and you are concerned about this problem and that problem. Ye jahan cheez hai ki loho kalam tere. You are concerned about this small earth, the small world, a few problems in a few countries. Loho kalam tere hai. If you are loyal to Muhammad, if you grasp the mission of Muhammad, learn, practice and teach, learn, practice, propagate. If you hold on to this mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then lohe mahfuz and kalam, the pen will become yours. You will be able to write your own taqdeer. You will be able to write your own taqdeer. وَلَإِنْسَالَنِي لَعُوْتِيَنَّهُ وَلَإِنِسْتَعَذَبِي لَعُعِذَنَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when a person becomes my friend by following the mission of my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, then if he raises his hands and he says, oh Allah, grant me this, I immediately grant it to him. And if he says, oh Allah, grant me refuge from this, I immediately grant him refuge. کہ محمد سے وفا تو نے تو ہم تیرے ہیں. یہ جہاں چیز ہے کیا لوح و قلم تیرے ہیں. اگر جنت کا ارادہ ہے تم تمام ہی کا. So in order to solve the problems of this world, محمد سے وفا. The hereafter, اگر جنت کا ارادہ ہے تم تمام ہی کا, گلے میں توک ڈال دو محمد کی غلامی کا. Become the slave of محمد. Slave of his mission, follow his mission. Teri mi'raj ke tu loh o qalam tak pahuncha. This is your mi'raj. This is your excellence that you reach loh and qalam and sidratul muntaha. Teri mi'raj ke tu loh o qalam tak pahuncha. Meri mi'raj ke main tere qadam tak pahuncha. My mi'raj is when I begin to follow in your footsteps. That is my mi'raj. Your mi'raj is when you reach loh and qalam. And my mi'raj, the miraj of the ummah will be when the ummah holds on to the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this seerah conference organized by Al Falah Academy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant progress to Al Falah Academy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of the akabir and make it a means of guidance, hidayah and salvation. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك, يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها, أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان, واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. Allahumma ahdina wahdi bina, Allahumma ahdina wahdi bina, Allahumma ahdina wahdi bina, Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda, waj'al akhiratana khayran min al-ula, ya rabba kulli shay, biqudratika ala kulli shay, waghfir lana kulli shay, wala tasalna an shay, ya rab waghfir lana kulli shay, wala tasalna an shay, waghfir lana kulli shay, wala tasalna an shay, Allahumma inna nas'aluka husna الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم خير لنا واختر لنا ويسر لنا أمورنا وألهمنا مراشد أمورنا واعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا وارحم الراحمين have mercy upon us وارحم الراحمين forgive our sins forgive the sins of our parents forgive the sins of our relatives forgive the sins of our teachers مشايخ forgive the sins of the whole ummah forgive the sins of all present here forgive the sins of all our associates and friends forgive the sins of all our relatives, forgive the sins of all our family members, forgive our minor sins, forgive our major sins. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to walk on this on Sirat Mustaqim. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to prepare for the life hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your love, grant us your nearness, grant us your recognition. O Arhamur Rahimeen, honor us with the love of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, honor us the tawfiq to hold fast to the mission of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make qabr easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the resurrection easy for us. Grant us shade under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the reckoning easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us our book of deeds in our right hands. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the pul sirat easy for us. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from your wrath and anger. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from your displeasure. Grant us all your pleasure. Grant us all the tawfiq to do those things which bring your pleasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to abstain from everything that brings your displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to value each and every sunnah of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus. Ilaha al-Alameen, grant us the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon the whole Ummah. Have mercy upon the whole Ummah. Have mercy upon the whole Ummah. Ilaha al-Alameen, grant the whole Ummah tawfiq to value your deen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant even the non-Muslims to appreciate your deen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to become practical examples for everyone. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us all the good things which your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us refuge from all the evils from which your Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seek refuge. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant barakah in all the masajid, all the madaris, all the makatib, all the institutes, all the da'wah activities, all the jama'ats, all the jam'iyats, and all religious activities that are taking place in Zambia, in Central Africa, in the African region, and throughout the world. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant it all acceptance, and O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant them and fulfill all their needs. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Thank you.